I got to tell you, it is a very humble thing to be up here, to be talking about what I'm talking about, and to lead you guys in this. And so I take this very seriously, and I just appreciate this time so much that I am timing myself, so I will not go over. I wanted to start us off right, and I wanted to start off with a John Piper quote. It says, God is calling us above all else to be the kind of people whose theme and passion is the supremacy of God in all of life. And it's the all of life that gets me. And it's the fact that it's God's work, God's focus, it's God focused in everything all the time. And I'm going to just tell you quickly what the Spirit has been doing in my life, because it's a big one, it's kind of drastic, and it's something that's taken a long time. And so maybe some of you will be just familiar with these kind of things that I'm going to be hinting at. But my story begins with Jesus' words in John 13:34. It says this, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And it was probably a little over a year ago, and I was walking around my neighborhood, and we live in a type of neighborhood where even though we've been there for 8 years, the garage doors are shut, and we're out with little ones walking around. And God just got it on my heart, the commandment, the two greatest commandments are love God and love other people. And I go, how am I, a Christian, intentionally loving my neighbors? What am I doing? What is built into my life that I could say, here's what I am doing, here's how it's going, here's the success or the failures, how can I share with people around, like my friends and my family, here's what I'm intentionally doing? And there was nothing. And yet, God, through his scripture, clearly calls us to that. The idea of God, based on that verse, of loving God through loving our neighbors. Loving God through loving our neighbors started to make my heart flip of like, wow, here's this great way to love my Lord that I'm looking at and I'm going, I don't know how I'm doing that. I'm missing out in the joy that God wants to give me through being obedient. So it kind of haunted me. I'd walk around, I'd think idea. The kind of haunting was the same type of feeling that you feel when you see somebody on the corner with a cardboard sign and they're asking for food, or, you know, and you're like, okay, and you just go through that awkward, like, do I give them money? Do I give them food? What do I do? What if they abuse it? And then you start talking yourself out of it of like, you know what, I'm just going to walk the other way. That's the kind of feeling that I was getting when it came to how am I loving my neighbors. I just kept feeling, and what came back was that, Ryan, you have to be more intentional. You have to look at your neighbors and look at your life, and you have to find ways to be more intentional with them. Around the same time, I started doing this Dave Ramsey book thing, and some of you are laughing because you know what it's about. Maybe you've gone through it. It's a book on finances. However, the result wasn't just a financial revolution. It really changed the way I looked at money, the way I looked at my marriage, the way my relationships worked. It really just, God used that to spur a whole kind of mini revolution inside of my heart. And what happened was something pretty radical. And here's how I explain what happened. See, I don't know about you, but I was born and raised a Christian. I grew up in a Christian household. And so for me, learning about Jesus has always been in my history. It's always been in my story. The world, the society has always been in my story. It's always been in my history. Christian community has always been in my story. Everything has been in my story, and there has been no drop. Here was where I was spiritually reborn. I lack that. And because of that, because Christian culture was there, because Jesus was there, because the world was there, they all blended and they all mixed. And I couldn't tell the difference. And it's easier to tell what the difference between the world and Jesus. It's harder to tell the difference between Christian culture and Jesus. And we get comfortable in Christian culture. And what I was lacking was to be able to distinguish what is Jesus. And what the Spirit was convicting me on was, Ryan, you need to go back to what Jesus is calling you to do. And so I had my mixed bag, and what I started to do was pull things out and go, that's a belief based on the world. I'm gonna toss that one. And I would pull it out and I go, yeah, that's Jesus said that. And I'd keep it. And then I'd pull it out and I go, wow, that looks really good. That's awesome. But Jesus isn't calling me to say that. In fact, this is probably just Christian culture. I'm going to put this on the side. And it drove me back to the scriptures, and it drove me to what Jesus is calling it to do. And it produced in me this idea that I am not my own. I have been bought with a price. My sin has sent me to the grave, but it's been my King Jesus who has given me eternal life. He is my all in all. Somewhere within my story along the line, I heard this statistic. It's going to be startling, but it's nationwide. The statistic is 95% of people who live in apartment complexes have no connection to a church. And there it was. Really? I thought the first time. Really? It can't be that high, you know? And then as God was pressing on my heart and my wife's heart, you need to do something about it. You know, the normal things started to come up. Well, yeah, but Lord, what about my dreams? I mean, we own, you know? We want a bigger house. We don't want to go to an apartment. Lord, it's a wrong time. We're a young family and we're busy. And for us to move into an apartment just doesn't seem like a lot of sense. Lord, we already serve. And so we went through all these thoughts, and yet the Lord kept coming at us. And he said this. He says, I'm calling you to get uncomfortable. I've learned that I seek my comfort above all else. And so he said, man, if you seek comfort more than me, that's sin. And he says, I'm calling you to live for others. I want to stretch you. I want to put you closer to your community, Grace Fellowship up here. For those of you that don't know, I've lived in Aliso Viejo, and it feels like a whole different world when we come up here. I want your family to set an example of what it means to be led by the Spirit. I mean, what good is a mission pastor if he lives in a high tower, you know, a half hour away? But I want to be able to live a life that is worthy of what God is calling me to do. And so there is an organization. It's Grant Van Cleve, Garrett, work for it. It's called Apartment Life. My wife and I, on February 18th, we're going to be moving into a complex just down the street. And there is 410 units there. It's a community that's described as young professionals, which there's a lot of you here today that would fit that category. It's a community that will mesh well with the people in this community if we go over and we love on them well. The position that we're taking is called a cares team, and what we get to do is we get to greet people for the apartment. We get to create events for the apartment, and then when they're up for a release renewal, we not only care for people and talk to people, but we check in on them when they're up for a renewal, because a lot of times people just hop around. And so as we were thinking about this, somebody brought up, Ryan, this isn't just about you and your family. This is about your community. and the community in the apartment complex and the people that live there need Jesus. And Grace Fellowship Church is positioned 4 minutes away. And we can motivate people and we can find people here to help us serve them there and tell them about Jesus. And so we get to lead the charge as a family to say we are going to claim that apartment complex for the Lord. We're going to spend 2 years there and we need your help to go in there and serve, be the hands and feet, develop relationships with these people that don't know Jesus. Statistically, 95%, and you figure there's 410 units, and there's at least two people in each apartment. You can do the math, but that's a huge mission field, and it's a local mission field, and it's obtainable, and it's right down the street, and my wife and I have been called to that. We believe that Grace Fellowship Church has been called to that. I believe that Grace Fellowship Church is on a huge precipice. I believe that God has been doing things in our hearts, and I've heard about it. I've listened to phone calls. I've heard people talk. I've overheard people talk. It's called eavesdropping. I do it. God is doing something in our community. For many of you, there is a desire to let go of the things of the world and really just jump in and commit to the Lord. And he's calling you to great things. But there's a tension, right? Because our faith is this big and he's calling us to stretch it to be that big. And we're not quite there yet. But God is calling Grace Fellowship Church to be set apart from the world. He's calling us to be holy. And it shouldn't be easy. In fact, it should be really difficult. Being a Christ follower costs us everything all the time. And I want to see us live out a wartime mentality because life is war. There's a spiritual battle. There's people's souls and eternities at stake. It's not just about us being comfortable. We have a mission. And in wartime, World War II, or any war for that matter, newspapers carry headlines about how the troops are doing. In wartimes, families talk about the sons and daughters on the front lines and write to them and pray for them. And with heart-wrenching concern for their safety, they care about them. In wartime, we are on alert. We are armed. We are vigilant. In wartime, we spend money differently. In wartime, we spend our time differently. I want to ask you a question. Which one leads your life? Is it your day planner? Or is it the scriptures? You have one life. So what do we do? Really quick, because my timer hasn't helped me. I changed roles 4 months ago. I was entrusted by Mark and the elders to come up with a philosophy and a foundation of what it means to do missions. Part of my role was just to sense what is God doing around here. I created values. I set the direction for mission and outreach. I brought, which was okayed by the elders, by the way. I started a strategic mission committee, and that committee had been meeting, and we started going through these things. We actually, some of you were part of our focus groups because we needed your input, and we valued what you had to say. In fact, that was a huge check mark of, like, are we listening to the Spirit? Are we doing the right thing? The strategic mission committee helped me unfold this plan, and then we started to collect data as far as, like, how do we start equipping Grace Fellowship Church, so that we're speaking the same language, we're on the same page, and we're united. With that, even though God's call is very unique on us all individually, there's also a corporate mission of what God is doing through us as Grace Fellowship Church. And so we came up with some purpose values. And our purpose values is, one, we're going to bring glory to God. This is why we do mission. It's to bring glory to God. That's why we should be doing anything, Scripture tells us. The second thing is wholeness through reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5, it says that we are ambassadors, that our ministry has been given to us to reconcile people to God. And so those are why we do what we do. Our conduit values, how we do that is we're going to go out in both word and deed and spread the gospel. They're connected. We're going to do ongoing personal relationships. It's got an asterisk on there up there because this is a little bit different than what we've known or comfortable with. We are going to commit to a group of people and we're going to just stick there and we're going to serve them and we're going to love them and we're going to talk to them. We're going to get to know their stories. We're not going to leave them. We're going to spend years there because relationships are what matter. People are what matter. And so it's got to be relationships. It's going to look through development. We're going to do people development. We're going to do discipleship. We're going to do service. But it's going to be on the front of you are going to be interacting with people that don't know the Lord. Prayer. We do prayer every Thursday. Prayer is the bulk. If we're not communicating to God on this, then we're going to be lost and we're going to mess up. And so we got to stay in prayer. And then unity, not only the body, it has to be unified, but we're going to partner with other outside organizations and come alongside them and say, Grace Fellowship is here to help because we want to do the kingdom work. Part of what we've discovered our asset is this. We think we do family better than most. We think we've been gifted with some really great families here, but we think as a community, we love and support each other well. We are so good at that. I'm willing to bet the farm that we can be family to those that don't have family. I think we're strong enough to extend our sense of family outside of these walls to people that have not known that love, that acceptance, that grace. And so we are going to operate on what our strength is, and I believe that's family. So some of the things that we're going to get involved with, I don't have time to do all of them, but I'm just going to touch. The Vances have been kind of, and I signed up, and they were our first runner on a thing called Safe Families. It's pre-foster care. You're taking a family that's going through a really hard time, and what you're doing is you're saying, we're going to take care of your kid for a short amount of time. We're going to house them. We're going to treat them like one of our own so that you can just fix whatever is going on and make it right, and we're going to love you through that process. That has huge opportunity for the whole group because we know that not everybody's going to be able to host a child, but the whole community is going to get involved. Apartment Life, I've already explained that. 2x2 is a mentorship project where you and your friend are going to meet once a month with somebody who's younger, serving in a high school ministry or Young Life, that kind of thing, because I know that we have tons of wisdom in this room on how to do ministry. We have people who have been in elder boards. We have people that have ran youth groups, and yet there's a whole series of people who are in their 20s that are trying to minister to high school students that could use support, that could use advice, that need somebody to check in on them, and so that's that. Those are just some of our expressions. We're going to be helping out with some emancipated foster youth, which, again, fits in the family because they don't have any. And I know that you guys are going to be excited, and it's going to be challenging what's coming. It's going to ask a lot of you. It's going to ask the biggest thing that it's going to ask is your time and your commitment. But we're going to do it in a way that I think that you are going to be so blessed, and your relationship with the Lord is going to grow immensely. I'm going to pray, but we have one more thing, and that thing is this, is Grace has also been known for taking, when a need is made known, it rises up, and it takes care of that need. And so a need that I'm rising up today is this. There's somebody within our congregation who has been here 7 years serving faithfully that due to some unforeseen circumstances and hardships, she needs a car to be able to continue to provide for her and her own. And so I just want to make that known, and I'm just throwing it out there like this because I know that the Spirit's at work, and you guys just need to know about it. But Grace and Mark and Dave and I and Tracy, we just said that we're going to throw it out there because we feel that that needs to be made known. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for grace. I'm constantly just in awe of this community. It's feeling so blessed, and I cannot wait for us to be to turn and look to those that are broken and hurting, that need your Spirit, that need your love, and that you would work through us to do that is just simply amazing, Lord. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us this opportunity. I pray that the Holy Spirit would be working in our hearts and show us ways that you are calling us out to stretch our faith to be put into action. In Jesus' name, amen.